tell everyone to be quiet. We ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Bless and sanctify this water to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which is shed for them, that they may witness to thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they always remember him. Amen. May have the Spirit to with them. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I am sure that we all rejoice on this most glorious day when we are celebrating the resurrection of the Savior. I would like to give my testimony today in two parts. I would like to begin at this point and then conclude at the end of the meeting, after you have had an opportunity to bear your testimonies. In the second chapter of Joel, and also in the second chapter of Acts, the prophet told us that in the latter days, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Last night, I dreamed a dream. I was in the dream, and you were in the dream. Everyone in this ward was in this dream. And there were three scenes. The opening scene, there were parents, and the father held in his arms his son, an older young man, a very tall young man, but nothing but skin and bones. And the father was presenting him to us, obviously asking for our help and our assistance in some manner, although the matter or the assistance wanted was not specified. But we were afraid, all of us were afraid to provide that help, whatever help may have been needed. And our fear was rationalized as though some harm would come to us if we were to attempt to help. The second scene was entirely different. We were near a large sea, and we were all fishing with one fishing pole. And we were very lackadaisical about this fishing because the fishing pole was just lying on the ground. But there was a lot of line went way out in the sea. And a fish was hooked. And we could see that the fish was hooked because the line was rapidly going out. And we rushed to try and pull this fish in. We succeeded with considerable difficulty. The line became very entangled, but we finally did reel the fish in. And when we got the fish in, it was not a whole fish. It was only 3/4 of a fish. The entire tail section was missing, with part of the lower part of the body. But we very much desired this fish, even though it was only 2/3 of a fish. We wanted that very badly. and we were about to take it away when somebody suddenly recognized that none of us had a fishing license. And we became afraid again and worried as to what would happen to us because we did not have a fishing license. And while we were worrying about that, there came the final scene when word was brought to us that there was a judge who issued fishing licenses, and it still was not too late to get a fishing license. Furthermore, this fishing license would entitle us to go out and try and catch the rest of the fish. And we wondered how that might be done, but the word that came to us assured that it would be difficult. It would be harder to catch that last one third, but indeed it could be done. And then the question arose, where is the judge who issues these fishing licenses? And the answer came that the judge was the father of the young man that was being held in his arms. And again, we were afraid to go where the judge was because we felt that there was something there that would harm us. Now, I've never dreamed such a dream, and because it included you, I thought perhaps there's a Joseph in the audience who can interpret the dream that I dreamed. At any rate, at this point, I turn the time over to you for testimony.
And I know that if these children continue to listen to their parents and to their Sunday school and their primary teachers, that their testimonies will grow and that they too will know, if they don't know now, that our Heavenly Father does live and that Jesus Christ was crucified for us and made this resurrection possible, that we might return to our Father in heaven. I love these children very much, and I am so grateful for the opportunity that I have of working with them. I also want to express my gratitude to my Father in heaven and my family for the love that we share. I'm grateful for Ross's mission and that he's back with us again, and now that Frank's health will permit him to also go on mission. We're so thankful to our Father in heaven for all the wonderful blessings that we enjoy. And I want him to know that I know that this is the true church and that I have great faith and great love for him. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I stand to say but one thing, and that is I have lost this lesson. And I'm very grateful for many things which I receive from my Heavenly Father. I want you to know that one of the things I'm most grateful for has been my opportunity to live here. I don't know if you know it, but you're unusual. During the first 2 weeks of coming to priesthood meeting, I heard two discussions of Pascal's wager, fixicity, vitiate, and probity. Not every quorum meeting has such content. I want you to know that my interaction with you was good for me. Some years ago, I heard an expression that has since that time kept me very humble. It comes from a modern novelist, and it goes like this. When you think you have it all together, what's that all around it? If I had ever thought of thinking that I thought that I had it all together, I would have thought that there were many things around it to which I could grow. Your example has been very good for me. I will cherish those memories, and I will understand now more precisely ways in which I can grow to become a better person. Secondly, I am thankful that it is Easter and that we have such a great model in our Savior Jesus Christ. For all of the ways in which we struggle and press and concern ourselves with what we should do and how we should act, how grateful I am for Jesus, who is my Savior, my Redeemer, and my model. For these blessings and the blessings of my lovely family, I give thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My brothers and sisters, I'm very grateful for the opportunity I have of bearing my testimony to you at this very short, special period of time in my life. I want to express my love and gratitude that I have for every one of you for your faith and prayers. I had this illness ever since started in August, and then it became more serious in December. And all throughout this time, I've never felt so discouraged in my entire life. And when it became more apparent that I was supposed to come home, I didn't really want to, but when I discussed it with my mission president, he said that there was something what I have to do to come home for me to learn and grow. And before I left, I had a very special experience of having a blessing administered to me by my mission president. And I know that after that blessing, that I felt that I never even really needed to come home, that everything would be all right, and that I can return back to my mission. I'm grateful for your faith and prayers, especially for putting my name in the temple. I'm grateful. I want you to know that I love my mission very much, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity of returning, as something that some missionaries don't have the opportunity to do when they come home. But there's a mission for me, and that this experience is for me to learn to grow, and for you to grow too in your faith. I love my mission, and I'm grateful for the many experiences I've had of sharing the gospel with the people up there in Canada. It's a wonderful experience. I love my parents very much. They're very near and dear to me, and I'm grateful for all their support. They're very wonderful people, and I love them. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that he did in reality speak to God, and that Spencer W. Kimball speaks to him today. This is the restored church of Jesus Christ. I'm so very grateful for the opportunity I have of being a part of it. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Very difficult for me to say what is in my heart, but at this time of the year I'm especially grateful that I was born into the church, that I was baptized on April the 6th when I was 8 years old. It was my birthday yesterday, and so I have been in the church all these many years. It was also our anniversary yesterday, which is something that I'm very grateful for, to have a wonderful husband and father of our children. They're so understanding. They love him, our children, and our grandchildren seek his advice and his help. I'm so grateful for this Easter season. Being born in the spring, I guess it's always been a special time for me. The springtime. I've loved spring. And I think of the day that I was baptized. There was our ward. There were three wards in our town. And in our ward was the baptismal font. And there was one brethren who was set apart to do all of the baptisms for everybody. And Brother Nahum Curtis was his name. And he baptized everybody. And he took care of the font, and it was quite a wonderful experience. It's changed from what it is now. And I remember that day we had, it was right after Sunday school, we were baptized on Sunday, and we had our testimony meeting, and all meetings at that time was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because we just had one more event. And so, all was long hair, and I had to go home, and they didn't have electric dryers and curlers and all these conveniences that we have now, to try to get home, get my hair dry, and back to be partly presentable so that I could receive the Holy Ghost. Which is such a wonderful blessing. I'm grateful that I've been able to be a mother in Zion with six wonderful children, and that I've had the experience also of helping to raised my baby sister after my mother passed away soon after we were married. I'm so grateful for our Savior and what He did for us. And I, my husband, have been privileged to walk where He walked, to be in those sacred places, and to be in the room where He broke the bread and gave to His disciples and told them to take, that it was in remembrance of His body, and the cup which was in remembrance of His blood. This room was a bare room with not a thing in it. And we were with the BYU tour, and we sang, "I know that my Redeemer lives." There was many beautiful experiences, but I believe this was one that touched me really more than some of the others. It seemed that He was right there. I could hardly contain myself. Brother Anderson was also on this trip with us, and we had some wonderful experiences. I'm grateful that we also held our home in this ward. We've enjoyed living here and raising part of our family. Of course, the others, the twins were born after we moved here. But we're so grateful for them and our grandchildren. And I can never thank the Lord enough for the blessings that He has given to me. And I'm grateful for my dear husband, who has been so good. He has been a comfort and a strength to me. And upholds the priesthood. And I can never thank the Lord enough for the blessings that have been mine. And I give thanks unto Him this beautiful Easter Sabbath. And I say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I also like to unite my testimony to those that have buried before me. I'm very grateful for many things in my life, but especially for being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I believe that I am grateful for many things, and I could not possibly think of all the blessings that I like to refer today. But I would like to say to you this time that I know that I, deep in my heart, that I know that this is the Church of Jesus Christ and that there is no other in the face of the earth. That I know that a doubt in my mind that the prophet Joseph Smith was a man that was chosen before this world was to be able to bring the gospel of this last dispensation. There are many wonderful blessings that have come about into my life. I am especially grateful for the birth of a new baby daughter. It's been many years since we got married. We had a dream that one day we might be able to have 12 children. Some people think that, maybe we were crazy, and some of them now, they know that I really am. But I'm not. I'm grateful. This is probably one of the greatest blessings that I will ever have in my life. And someday, probably, I'll be able to realize it more than I do now. It's been a wonderful life to be able to be married to a girl like Chelsea. She had probably the finest time having this baby than any other time. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for my family, for my children, and for the many other blessings that have come to us in my lifetime. I would like to especially be grateful for the blessing that has come to us at this time, our new addition, but for the type of spirit that lives in our home. We have enjoyed the children very much. We have a lot of noise at home. We enjoy the noise along with many other things as part of a large family. But when I stop to think of the responsibility that this is, it kind of scares me a little. I have thought about it for many times, and for this I'm grateful. The great blessing that has been to me and to my wife to be able to have good children. But they have a testimony of church. And this is the most important thing to me. Many of you probably would not be able to have an opportunity to bear your testimony, and I know that you feel sometimes the way I do, that you like to say amen to those testimonies that someone has there. And I'll say that at this time I just have to stand up, and my heart has been so full that I want to say to my Heavenly Father publicly, thank you again. All these blessings, my brothers and sisters, along with all those that I know that I have received, I would like to say to you that daily, all the time, three times, sometimes more times a day, I think of giving praise and glory to my Heavenly Father. sometimes when I walk to school, sometimes when I'm doing many things. There's so many things that I cannot possibly have the time to come to you. I know he always blessed me more things that I ever dreamed, that I ever dreamed that I could be blessed for. I'm grateful for the Easter and what it signifies to us, for the opportunity that we have to come back to our Heavenly Father, for the resurrections and for the life of sacrifice that our elder brother came to do for us. These blessings I know that are mine and yours, and I say these things in the name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Amen.
That seems pretty tight. I hope I don't choke her. I'd like to just say how thankful I am for the blessings we have with our family. We know there are many, and we're thankful for the opportunities that come to our children, each one of them, as they come along, and the things that happen to them. We're just thrilled to think that they get the kind of opportunities they do and are achieving in the way that they are. We know it's because they are trying to live the gospel of the best of their ability. We know that they're trying, and we're happy for that. We're grateful for the gospel in our family and for the way that each one of them are taking hold and trying to strive to do the best that they can. I'd like to tell the devices that I'm thankful I live by them. They are really an example for anyone to watch and follow. I see those children get up and come to Sunday school and take another one with them and take two or three along with them to primary or something else, and I just think, oh, what a marvelous family that is. The Second Session Relief Society has been meeting in their home for a while, and you'd think with 12 children they'd have enough on Sunday morning without us meeting there. But we have been meeting there in their home, and you just can't believe that home with 12 children in it, you don't even know they're there. We didn't hear a word, we didn't hear a sound. We went ahead and had Relief Society and didn't know that we were really in a home of 12 children. How they manage that, I don't know. He said they have a lot of noise, but on that morning they don't have noise. And I'm sure with 12 children they have noise, but it's happy noise, and I'm sure that they'll be blessed for having those children. I'm thankful for my husband that is so kind and dear and is such a help in our family. Our boys love to work with him. They always ask his advice. It's getting to the point now where instead of them asking his advice, he has to ask theirs, but that's good too. In building a house or something else. It's been a joy for me to have them work together like they do. And the unity that they have, whenever anything happens in our family, they all go together, and it seems like you don't need to ask them to do things. They're all there supporting each other. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have in a family. It brings great joy to their parents when they can stick together like they do. I'm really grateful for the blessings that we have, and I'm sure that our prayers have been answered many, many times, sometimes not in the way that we ask, maybe. Maybe we have to have a little patience and wait a while and understand what is happening. But I'm sure our prayers have been answered many times, and I know prayers are always answered if we just are patient and live the gospel. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice and what he's done for us, and given us the opportunity to come back again to Heavenly Father's presence. And I pray that each one of us will strive to do the best we can and live the gospel and be thankful for the blessings that we have and use our health and strength in helping others. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I'm pleased to be with you today. I'm a little emotional today because I don't know, when I think about the Savior, it makes me that way. When we sing the song, I know that my Redeemer lives, I can hardly make it through it. I'd like to do three things as I stand before you today. One is to thank a number of you. Another one is to speak a little of the bishop's dreams that applies to my life. And the other one is to bear my testimony. My mind works like a mountain stream of clear water cascading over the precipices and rushing down the mountainside. And my mouth works like a sludgy river emptying into the ocean. And I hope that I can put into words the kinds of things that I would like to say. It's been a number of years, and I'm going to say since I've been a member of this ward, and I have been for a number of years, because we were all one once. And as I look over this congregation, I see so many people who have touched my life as a relatively young married man. I look at Sister Lupriel Simmons down here, Sister Janelle Beasley sitting by her, over here Sister Colvin, and you know, young people, we were all in the MIA together, and Sister Fields, who isn't with you now, but they were all there, and we had a wonderful experience. I was so impressed at how concerned these people were at that time about the young people now who are married, and the time and the energy they put into it. We had wonderful parties in those days too. I remember back there behind Sister Jones on the hill, and we were all out there, all of us riding down the tubes on the hillside before the house was below it, having a great time. I remember our Halloween parties that we had, and the very great interest that all of these people who are now a little older showed in the people who are now teaching Sunday school classes in your ward or elsewhere teaching Sunday school classes, who have been on missions. We take so much from each other. Why, in no way could I say one person in this ward owed me one thing. All I can say is that I owe you all that I've got to give the rest of my life. We also owe that to our Father in Heaven and our Savior. As Bishop Hall was speaking of this man holding the emaciated, sick young man in his arms and asking for help, I thought of something that happened to me fairly recently, and I'd like to apply this to myself. If it applies to you, okay. If it applies to you as a ward, okay. But I needed to replace a person in employment because one had left who was working with me. And as I looked through all the applications, I found an application of a young man. And I thought, well, he does have a degree, he could be a teacher, he hasn't been hired, he's been out of employment probably a good year or more. And I thought, well, I'd better just call him in and see whether I'd like to employ this young man. And when I talked to him, there he was, an emaciated young man, thin arms, legs, stringy long hair, clothes that looked old, and didn't need a bath. And I thought, oh, no, I could never hire a person like that.